Okay, perfect. So we have Cameron Grant, Jean Christopher, Tom DeBee, Lauren Sally, Arlene Zortman, Harold Dominguez, Karen Roney, Kathy Fedler, Lisa Gallinar, Molly O'Donnell, Kendra Daniels, and Michelle Waite.
Thank you very much. Item number two is approval of minutes from our December 21st, 21 meeting. Those minutes are in the packet. And assuming everyone's had a chance to review those, are there any comments or suggested revisions? And if not, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
I make the motion.
I'll second.
So it's moved by Arlene and seconded by Jean. All in favor, raise your hand. Any opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Item number three is the public invited to be heard. Erica, do we have anyone that has contacted you wanting to speak with the board today?
Nobody, no.
Okay, so with no one requesting to be heard, we will move on from item three to item number four, organizational update. Item 4A is designation of an official posting location for the agendas. B is election of the chair for 2022, an item I'm very interested in and others expressing interest in, and then it's considering an update to the bylaws. So why don't we start with 4A? Arlene?
Where exactly are they posted now?
I don't know where these are posted. Go ahead, Karen.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Cameron.
I was going to say back when it was the LHA, mm-hmm. we made a motion and shifted the posting location to align with the way the city posts. And I think we still posted it at the LHA office. But I don't recall what we decided to do for the advisory board.
Well, I'm wondering if under public invited to be heard, and since we're an advisory board, if we need to publish these, or and if even if they are being published at the seniors at the centers, the LHA housing units, because I would think that might possibly be where some people would call in.
It could be. So Karen, can you let us know what we're doing now, and then we can figure out what we want to do moving forward?
Yeah, you bet. So yeah, and this is an annual requirement for us to do as a public entity. And so right now we have, it is posted on the city's website. There is a Longmont Housing Authority Advisory Board page on the website. It gets posted there. And then we post a physical agenda here at the Civic Center, which is generally where the LHA admin offices are. Basically at the west entrance of the Civic Center. So those are the official posting places. And so I guess you know if Arlene, I think to Arlene's point is if we made all the other centers or all the other housing locations as the official posting place, then we would have that, we would have a pretty long list of where we need to officially post the agenda. And I think it's probably a great idea to post this more broadly for the residential property, so people know that there is an opportunity to speak. And so I don't know whether you want to keep the official posting pretty much as the website and the LHA offices here, and then we could also make it a practice to post the agendas at all the LHA properties. But it's whatever you want to do, we will do that.
Kathy, did you have something?
I would just suggest that one of the locations be on the LHA website, because people do go there that live in the properties, as opposed to maybe posting in every property. And the housing choice voucher people often go there too, who might have comments.
Any other comments? I like the suggestion from Karen that we keep the official posting relatively narrow, but have a practice of more broadly communicating it. So we do need to formally designate a location, is my understanding. And so a possible motion would be that we designate the current locations that Karen can rattle off again, because I didn't memorize them, for the locations for posting in 2022, but that we make an effort to also post more broadly in other locations where residents and other interested people might be looking for this information.
So yeah, I think if the official site is the city website, Kathy's suggestion, I think, is a good one, and have the LHA website as an official posting place, and at the west entrance of the Civic Center, then those could be our three official posting places. We would have adopt the practice of posting these at all of the LHA residential properties.
I would make that motion.
I'll second.
Great. We got a motion by Lauren and a second by Jean. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, raise your hand. That motion carries unanimously. We're making good progress. Item 4B, this would be our first time for a changing of the guard. I will let you know that I would love someone else to step up and take on this role, so you don't have to hear me droning on every month. The role is not intense. It's certainly a lot less involved than it was when we were LHA. So it's not as daunting as it could have been. You know, I do have a number of other outside obligations that are growing more, increasing their demands on my time. And so I'd love to dial back my role if somebody else is interested. And I also want to throw out, we may want to talk about recruitment efforts as well. Think about the types of people that would be helpful to this board moving forward, and start having some of those discussions to make sure that we've got a continual pool of interested people. So is the question today, Karen, or Kathy, whomever, that we need to actually make a formal election of the chair?
Yes, that would be correct. When we looked at the bylaws, It indicated that the officers would serve a one-year term, and Cameron was appointed the chair in January of last year when we launched the new advisory board. So it's time, and just I'll talk a little bit about item C. So when we did consult the bylaws, where there's a section, I think it's section 7 in the bylaws, the LHA bylaws that establishes the advisory board. It just has the one office. Right now we have a chair and a vice chair. So Cameron is the current chair, Tom DeBee is the vice chair. And so we thought the item C might be a relevant discussion to also determine, because right now you have a chair. So we need to elect a new chair. And then when you go into item C, we put that on there because, like, okay, well, there's no vice chair slot. Do you want that? And then there might be other modifications that you might want to make.
Well, thank you. I should have done my homework, because if I had, I would have done some behind the scenes lobbying so this didn't all have to happen on the spot. But I will say that the role is managing these meetings and then interacting with Karen and Kathy as the agenda comes together leading up to the meeting. So there's a little bit of involvement, but thus far we have not established any committees or been intensely involved in anything behind the scenes. I suspect that could be possible as the activity of LHA increases and they look to us for some guidance on some decisions, but we haven't really gotten to that point yet. So it's not a big ask, but I would ask if anyone is interested in that to wave your hand. Otherwise, I might nominate somebody and see if they'll accept it. Lauren.
I'm interested, but with the caveat that I probably should tell you guys, we actually moved out of Longmont last month. I don't know if that precludes me from serving anymore, or if I'd at least like to serve at least my term, finish it this year. I think it was just 3 years starting in 2020, but I would be interested. I don't know what happens with that.
I think we have a resident.
That's an issue. The charter requires, I think, board and commission members live in Longmont.
Yeah, we had to leave for school purposes, but I don't know, does that preclude me from serving at all the rest of my term, or just, okay. Bummer.
Subject to what we discussed in item 4C, but
yeah.
As currently structured, yes.
Okay. Well, assuming we deal with that in a different way, I would be interested, but if not, that's fine.
So then there were three. So traditionally, if I don't do anything, it's probably the vice chair who has to step up.
I would be interested in taking it on. It's just for the school year term, I can't get daycare in the morning, which is wonderful. So I have to kind of get out of here. I'll still be on the phone and that at 8:30, but I can't run the meetings, unfortunately.
Kathy?
There's nothing that says you can't change the time and date of the meeting. That was one that was kind of just held over from the past. So usually that's on here too, to make sure to revisit the meeting date and time.
Yeah, if we either move it later, like I'd be more interested in like a 3 o'clock or something like that, afternoon rather than the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I don't have a problem with that. If Tom's willing to serve, I don't have a problem with later in the day meeting.
Well, I nominate Tom to serve as chair for 2022, including the power to suggest or designate meeting places and times and other elements.
Jean, and I'll second comment? That.
Great. Any discussion or retreat? No, all in favor? Any opposed? There are none. So Tom, you have been elected chair. If I had an actual gavel, I'd hand it to you. But would you like to pick up and
I'll carry take the on virtual,
and then I can fill in if you have to leave early.
Yeah, that works for me. So now let's go to item 4C, consider any updates to the bylaws.
I have a suggestion now that I'm just a member.
Yes, Cameron.
I would propose that we consider adding a vice chair to the mix. I don't know that we need more officers than that, but just to have a backup to manage the meetings. That would be one consideration. And then, subject to input from others, discuss whether it's, I'm thinking about Lauren's situation, whether any commissions in the city have non-voting advisory board members that do not live within the city limits, or is going that direction just kind of a knee-jerk reaction to not wanting to lose a good person that we may want to pause and think more about. Any thoughts from those who have more experience with all of Longmont boards and commissions?
Harold, do you want to take that?
Yeah. I think as long as it's a non-voting member, I could potentially look at that. I need to talk to Eugene though. My mind on all the intricacies of this one, but we'll add that to our list and work through it this week.
Okay. So, Kim, was that a... I was going to say,
I'll still be working in Longmont because I'm going to move my office to the BCHA offices at the Spokane Kaufman. So, still plugged into the community, still technically, you know, because I work for the county, still, you know, I think have an interest, but at least to finish out my term, I don't want to leave you guys without a member. And I still want to serve.
Yeah, let me talk to Eugene and figure all of that out.
Okay.
BCHA Thanks. Liaison. Just throwing things against the wall. We'll wait
right. Or there could there be something in the city requirement that if it's either work or residence as well?
Charter language, and so that's a little harder to deal with because to change a charter, that has to be a vote of the community. And so I want to go through that with Eugene. We are talking about bringing, the council did talk about bringing some charter items forward related to the election and when you canvass the votes and when you have to take the actions based on what we saw this year. We know that this is an issue in some of our other boards, like our pension boards, actually, where we have, can't find people to necessarily serve on the pension boards because they don't live in the county. So let me work this thing. No, there's definitely, if you're not a voting member, you're just a advisory, that could be a different component because I think it is the voting members of the board, but at this point I'm spitballing. So let me talk to you, G.
Thank you.
All right, and Cameron, did you formally put together a motion for the vice chair?
Let me try then. So I move that we amend the bylaws to include a new officer position for the vice chair to serve as the backup for the chair in any situation when the chair can't serve.
Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
Okay. So discussion, do we have any discussion on this?
I just was wondering if we want to amend it to where a person can actually serve longer than a year. Do the other boards or councils have just the 1 year requirement?
Well, I think it's that we can renew it. It's just a 1 year term. Mm-hmm. They aren't term limited at all.
And Tom's on his phone, so others who are raising their hand may not see you.
Yeah, sorry, I can't.
Michelle had her hand up.
Just as a staff liaison to an advisory board, we had bylaws that accompanied the ordinance language, and we had to sort of continue those because we had to keep with the terms that come, which are 3-year terms, some language. So I think, Harold, as you're talking to Eugene, you might want to also talk about terms and some of that other language, because our bylaws were out of compatibility with the city language around that. So there could be some changes that are going to be imposed by another authority. That's my experience.
Yeah, because we have the city's rules and procedure for advisory boards. That's kind of, to Michelle's point, going to be the primary document. And we got to make sure that what we do here is in concert with that.
And I think once we understand that, then I think the language about the term of the officers could be strengthened in the bylaws for sure. Because it's a little unclear. So
should we do our reconnoitering our meeting with the city attorney and look at the charter and that kind of language, and then maybe for the next meeting propose some red line changes to address the issue. So
okay, but can we could still vote on having a vice chair position though, right? Or do we need to check on that? Yeah, okay. What are you going to say, Karen?
No, I said that's fine. I think that would be a fine thing.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion on the table for a vice chair position to be added to the bylaws. Everyone for, please. Cameron, can you do the tally? Because I can't see everybody. Please raise your hand.
That's unanimous.
All right. So we'll add that to the bylaws that we will have a vice chair. Do I have a motion or anybody interested in being the vice chair?
Tom? You just raise your hand so I have both.
Tom, I'm not interested, but I would like to nominate Arlene Zortman as our vice chair.
Okay.
I'll second it so Arlene can comment.
I don't have a problem with that. I just am not real good at handling meetings because I don't do them very much, but I can certainly be second or follow up, okay, or whatever you want to call it.
The vice chair, okay.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? All right, let's vote on the motion to have Arlene Zortman be the vice chair for 2022. All those in favor? Raise your hand.
Unanimous.
All right. Congratulations, Arlene. So let's go on now to item 5, development and our project update and alignment with goals. 5A's, yes.
Sorry, this is Kathy. Do you want to formally change the meeting date or time?
Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let me look my schedule. I wasn't ready to actually change the meeting date. So we'll do the next meeting as is, and then we can change it at that point in time. Because we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to formally change it in a meeting, correct?
Correct.
So I'm assuming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's just do the next meeting as is, and then I will get some dates together and be ready to propose a change in meeting. All right, so going on to 5, so 5A's review and provide input on process, proposed next steps in the community engagement process at LHA Properties.
So that is Karen and Michelle. So we just are bringing back an updated version. And so Michelle, would you love to take this?
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you. So we had some different options, and like many things, COVID got in the way a little bit. So this is a redesign of a follow-up at each property with regard to the appreciative interviews that we did. So this really, the approach would be for a person. It could be me, it could be one of the advisory board members, could be a staff person from LHA. Would meet with small groups, 2 to 3 people, and go through this conversation, which was included in your packet. It is also designed so that there could be charts set up at each property, and independently residents could weigh in on the various things. There are a couple of questions that are really conversational rather than just check off and dot vote, as it were, but we can talk about those. So we're really following up on 3 things, community engagement, personal engagement, and then safety and security. Karen, did you want to jump in? Are you okay? I couldn't. Okay, you're good. Okay. So the first one is community engagement, and the conversational question is really about policy, practice, or procedure around those kinds of activities, either what's around LHA's role in consistent management of activities. So it's really kind of an open conversation around what residents think is important in any kind of structural way around activities. And then the second part is really just what's the most popular, what is the one activity residents would really like to see happening at their site, and folks would get a vote. And Lisa has indicated that the property management staff can help with this in terms of managing the voting. So that's kind of how that would happen if folks did that independently rather than as a part of a conversation. So then the second one is around personal engagement. And really it is about digging a little bit deeper. And I think I mentioned this before, this is an approach Harold really took with the attributes when he came on board at the city, and we as an organization really talked about, so what does that look like? And so that's really what number two is, really focusing on those personal interactions and some very specifics about what does privacy look like for you as a resident? What does listening look like? And again, it's an opportunity folks to add in, and they could do this as a part of a conversation, and the person facilitating that conversation could take notes. And it could also be just an independent large sheet near the property manager's office, and folks can fill in. Then the third one is around safety and security. And as you know, there's been a lot done around safety and security. And there were other things that different properties that are still waiting to be done. And there are things that folks are wanting. So this is really an opportunity for folks to really weigh in on their priority relative to safety and security. And so this, again, can be a conversation as well as folks can dot vote. And then the second part of this was relative to amenities. So there were some options that folks had come up, and some of these have been taken care of. I know Lisa's gotten new carts at several properties. There's affordable Wi-Fi at some properties. So some of these amenities are not necessarily across the board at all nine properties, but just an idea of what folks are thinking about. So this is really building on what we already heard and starting to establish priorities and then dig a little deeper. So this is the next step that Karen and I are suggesting. If the advisory board members would like to be a part of this and hold some of those conversations, that would be great. If you have thoughts about the items that are in this document, Karen and I would love to hear those, add to, take away. For example, one of the things we recently took away was air conditioning in the hallways had come up at one of the properties, and it talking further, it's really no point in offering something that just is not gonna happen. So we took air conditioning in the hallways away from the list. So definitely there's opportunity to add to or edit the list as they are. And then of course, if you don't want to participate, that's fine. I think Karen and I or our designees would come back to you at a later date and share what we hear. So that's kind of a lot. And so I just want to kind of open it up for some conversation. And Karen, if you have something you want to add.
No, I don't have anything to add. I think our interest is really from the advisory board is what would you like your role to be in this process or not? So that's really the discussion.
And just a point of clarification, Michelle, did you say that the goal is to meet with three residents at a time? Was that what I heard?
Yeah, given the COVID situation, we had originally thought about doing this as a group meeting and dividing residents into small groups. We just don't think that's the right approach right now, given COVID. So it would be one person meeting with two or three people in a more abbreviated time-wise kind of fashion.
And then another question I had was the options for the safe and secured. So all of these that are on the table for improvements, especially, you know, also money-wise and that and availability, are all these at each of the different residents? They can take place at each of the different residents?
So some of these are across the board at several residents, and some are specific to one or two. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, exactly. So then we can just kind of tier the list to whatever residents we're talking to, right?
Yep. And so we would collect data based on the property we're visiting at. But as an example, annual fire drills came up at several residents, but we were postponing that due to COVID. So we are behind in some of that, but Lisa's been catching up with our fire marshal and getting some things done. But that came up at several properties where new grills, outdoor grills as an amenity, maybe came up at two or three, not all. So
okay.
Mixture.
Okay. And I actually need to leave to take my son to school. So Arlene, are you ready to take over as chair? Or I guess Cameron could probably fill in if need be.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, I'll still be on the phone and that listening, but I don't think I'll be able to participate.
So going back to whether or not anybody would like to, since I helped with the original interviews, I would be glad to help in any way that you guys want on these, in any of the meetings. So keep me in mind for that.
I'd also be interested. I wasn't able to do the previous meetings because of pregnancy and COVID concerns, but now that I'm not pregnant, I'm happy to meet with people and get to know some of the residents and take part. So please keep me in the loop as well.
Okay.
And then like some of them are going to drop. So on the amenities where you see affordable Wi-Fi, so that's one that's probably not going to be on there now because of the ARPA dollars and the bulk agreements that we're going to create with Next Slide. So that'll be handled.
So there is a request for money from, I think it's Boulder County, a grant to get some dog parks in Longmont, something like four of them. Is that kind of what this dog exercise area is under amenities?
That's right. We've rewritten a grant for some funds through Senate Bill 290 for a dog exercise area at a couple of the properties. We have okay. Not heard back yet. That should be coming through this month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And I would just add to that, one of the comments, and Arlene, you heard this as well probably, is that there are some recreational activities at the properties, and I'm thinking specifically of the bocce court at Spring Creek that no one uses. And mm-hmm. So a couple of the residents said, why don't you take that out and make it a dog exercise area? So mm-hmm. They're I think really evaluating what is there and what people want is an opportunity.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else?
Marlene, on this point, I would just say that, first of all, I'd be happy to participate in this, but I also think that just the act of advisory board members participating is an important step to give all of the residents a forum for communicating that's maybe less formal than having to show up at one of these meetings. We've found that in the past that there are certain or some residents that struggle to feel like they can communicate or that they're heard. And I think this is an important step in that direction.
Well, and I've noticed kind of a difference in the way that people interact with me when I say I'm just with the advisory board as compared to part of the staff. And I don't know whether it's they just feel more comfortable with somebody, you know, that way or what, or whether I just look old like they all do. Who knows? One of the other things that was requested in that grant, Michelle, was pickle courts. Was that for LHA housing as well?
That was not. That was specific to the city of Longmont. We have a new park going in southeast Longmont. Nino Gallo Park. I can't believe I drew a blank on that. But
well, it's Workman right now.
It's Workman right now. It's and so we wrote a grant to add to the existing two planned pickleball courts to add two more, but that's in southeast Longmont, Arlene. It's not near any current Longmont housing properties.
Okay.
But I would say our parks department has been really committed, and recreation as well, trying to meet that need.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on this?
So I think it would be helpful to kind of have an idea for those of you that offered to help, thank you very much, but some scheduling. So perhaps after the meeting, I will email you and we can start to put together a time frame. I think we're hoping to kind of kick this off soon. And then we are meeting with the property managers on Thursday, Lisa and I, and we can get an idea from them around some scheduling options, because we want to make sure it's working for the property as well as for our own personal schedules. So if that is a reasonable and an acceptable way to respond, I can just follow back up with the three of you, and we can figure out those schedules after we visit with the property managers. But if you have other ideas, open to those as well.
Are we looking at the time frame of 2 hours like we did before with the interviews?
I don't think so, Arlene. I think we want to be more abbreviated because of COVID. I mean, I think we want to be mindful of that time. And I think it's not going to take that long because it's going to be some dot voting, some fill in the blanks, and two really conversational kinds of questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say hour at the most would be my guess. And some people may just want to pop in, dot vote, and leave. And that's okay too.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Lauren? We're good, Michelle.
Thanks. I'll follow up with the three of you. Appreciate the support. Great.
Okay. Thank you. Item six, which is items for input to the LHA Board of Commissioners. I'm not sure what that is.
So this was something that was mentioned at the last meeting as an item for the agenda. We didn't have anything to bring to you that needs input, but left it on in case there was something that you all had thought of that you would like to provide input to the board. And you don't have to if there's nothing.
So are they continuing to meet prior to city council, or are they meeting on a different night, different time, the board?
We're going to talk to them. We're going to hold it on a Tuesday night now, but we're going to talk to them based on how they structure the meeting and potentially use the one. I want to make a suggestion of using the one non-council meeting as an LHA meeting, but we've got to work with them on that.
So still Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, moving on to seven items. Did somebody have something to say? Okay, moving on, items not part of LHA work plan goals.
It's the same kind of situation. Yeah, so in case there was anything, we left this on, but that was one of the suggested areas for the agenda.
Okay.
I just have a question about 6 and 7. Was this part of our conversation where we just mentioned how we would like to review things that are going to be coming up before the board reviews them, that kind of thing? Okay, I thought so.
Okay, LHA report. I believe that's you guys.
Yep. Lisa? And Kendra?
Good morning. So we'll start with the LHA occupancy availability report. We're up to 90%, 6% occupied. I'm hopeful that we move even higher for January. Most of the units have been rented and we are reserving a couple units for the Marshall Fire. We've got an approval through CHAPA for Spring Creek and Village Place. So those, you'll see those notated as Marshall Fire units. We're working with a couple households right now trying to see if the units meet their requirements. The Lodge and Hearthstone, we had their waitlist open. They've been able to get most of their vacancies rented. The suites, actually, when I spoke to the manager this weekend, it looks like MHP has now rented all of their units. And so hopefully we'll have people moved in within the next 30 days to all of those units as well. Then the only vacant at the suites will be the meth unit.
Is there a time frame on that meth unit cleanup?
The unit has been cleaned up for the suites, but we're trying to find a contractor who can do it within budget. The budgets are coming in, or the proposals so far have come in at twice the amount than the insurance adjuster has agreed upon.
The same thing with the neighborhood, Aspen Meadows neighborhood?
That one is still in the process of being cleaned. They cleaned it a couple times. They went in and a couple areas still tested high, so they had to go back in and do another scrub down.
Okay.
Yeah, the single jobs right now, they're not large enough for folks to bid on, so we may have to aggregate and pull together to create more work so folks can will bid competitively on them.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on the LHA occupancy availability report? Okay, move on to the property updates. We hired a new maintenance tech for Hearthstone and Lodge. He started the beginning of the month. We had a new assistant manager start for Village Place, Spring Creek, Suites, Fall River. She's been with us since right before the holidays. We are exploring options right now to enhance the custodial services for the LHA properties. We do plan to bring this in-house. We've had a job posted with the city and on Indeed for the last several months. We just haven't found the right candidate. In the interim, we have brought in another company to fill in the gap from our previous contractor. A few things for the properties, the suites, just to let you guys know, we did have an eviction on Friday and that unit may also be a possible mess. So we will house test that first before having the outside company come in and test. We've already purchased the AccuMeth test kits. If they come back high, then we will have the professionals come in and test it. And then we are, this weekend we had a lot of upset residents over security, just in case you guys get emails or anything. We're looking down other avenues for security as well. We've not had full-time staff from our current contractor. They're having a hard time hiring as well, so it's left the suites uncovered. We have asked the police, who have graciously done some more patrols of the building and the property when we don't have security coverage. For Village Place, we did have our official kickoff meeting for the re-syndication, remodeling and construction. Molly O'Donnell and I, along with the property manager, Adam, went out and had three separate meetings with the residents, did it floor by floor, just to give them a heads up of what's coming, what we're doing, and how this will impact them. And we had the capital needs assessment done, or in the process of doing the capital needs assessment. Molly, do you want to touch anything on the Village Place?
Sure. So So that meeting with the residents, the multiple meetings with the residents happened on January 6th. On January 11th, we had the survey walkthrough. We're really happy with the firm that we selected, and we're hopeful that the report that comes back is going to be really useful. So they're in the process of preparing that report now. And so we kind of laid out a very general schedule for what to expect and let the residents know when their major opportunities for input will be and what types of input we're going to want. And we had Senior Services, Amy Payan, come with us, who was instrumental in the Aspen Meadows relocation to help support in some of the questions about what relocation would look like. So overall, it was very successful community meeting sessions, I think. So if there's any questions, we can take them. Maybe when Lisa's finished with her full report.
And Molly, you want to touch on the physical accessibility?
Sure.
Report as well that we're in the middle of.
Yeah, so we've been using some efficiencies. So we have one contractor doing the capital needs assessments. That's actually for Village Place, which was the first out the gate, and then upcoming for Hearthstone Lodge and Aspen Meadows Neighborhood. At the same time, we have a separate consultant that's doing a UFAS and ADA accessibility survey, which we need to do as part of our HUD voluntary compliance agreement. This is one of the last items to check off for that. So we our consultants are actually working together to, at least at Village Place, to make sure that they, use the information efficiently, share information across the two reports that we'll end up having. So we've now, for that accessibility survey, we've completed Village Place, the admin office, which Veterans Community Project is in, the Center for People with Disabilities. And then last Friday, the Aspen Meadows campus was completed. Today, the Spring Creek and Fall River campus is being done. And then we have later this week, Hearthstone and Lodge. I'm going to say one.
The suite.
Yeah. So by this Friday, we'll have all of those properties surveyed. That will be compiled into a report as well that recommends improvements, which will either be taken care of through the re-syndication process for those several properties that have that upcoming, or that we can have an ongoing list for what needs to be done over the next 7 years. So we should have that report here shortly to be able to send to HUD and get that item completed.
Thank you, Molly. Mm-hmm. And the last property update I want to just point out is for the Fall River. We also got granted an eviction there on Friday. This was for a resident who had multiple lease violations spanning over 2 years that impacted the health and safety of other residents on the same floor, above, below, nuisances. It was quite a bit of things. We tried to work with this resident prior to going to eviction. The city mediation department, we had Adult Protective Services, Longmont Senior Services. We all really tried to get her the wraparound services she needed, but she did not want to work with us as much as she could have. We were really trying to help her succeed. Unfortunately, it did lead to her eviction, and we are leaving that eviction open to add charges through the courts. And then for our open positions, we are still accepting applications for the Housing Compliance Manager, which will oversee HCB and the tax credit compliance, accepting applications for the Housing Choice Voucher Specialist, and accepting applications for custodians. Any questions on the property updates or items for the properties?
Lisa, it's Michelle. Can you give an update on the fire stops?
Yes, we started receiving the fire stops at the properties the last week and a half. I think one more property is still waiting on theirs to be delivered. Once we kind of get over this kind of peak in the COVID, we will be scheduling to go into all of the units and do our annual unit inspections and install the fire stops on all the properties.
Thanks.
There is no financial updates because we are in full audit swing right now. I can't tell you where we stand right now, which between Friday and Saturday, we got 6 of the properties over to the auditors, and we're working on the last 2. All of the write-offs have been done, along with the security deposit reconciliation that we had assistance with the community managers. They had to go through every single file to see what the lease actually said was their security deposit. And we got those updated in the system so they reflect correctly. Some of the things we did notice with the security deposits is it when they instituted Yardi, they had put what the rent was at that time. Therefore, when payments were happening, they were probably receiving more money than they should. So we did have some anomalies and some additional write-offs we had to do because of that, but they were kind of very minimal. We'll see a large adjustment on Village Place, but that's because their liability shows higher than it really actually is. So those are the financial updates I have on my side.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
Not a question. I'll just report that I was contacted by the auditors to speak with them because it's apparently part of the process. They need to speak with a board member, and I'll give them a call back today or tomorrow and get that completed. I'm assuming that it's all right to, for them to speak to an advisory board member rather than an LHA board member, but I'll cover that with them.
Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Lisa and Kendra. That takes us on to other business. Anybody have any other business? Lauren?
I was just gonna ask if anyone had mentioned or thought about LHA properties alleviating some of the stress with the fires and relocation services for potential residents who either lost their rental home or will need a place while they rebuild, if there was any plan for that. I know BCHA recently waived income restrictions for people who get that FEMA specific letter stating that they were affected for 1 year, but I didn't know if LHA had any plans or ideas about how they can help in that area.
So Lisa, do you want to mention that again?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we do have three units that we have listed with Praha that are available that we got the CHAPA waiver approved on. So there is no income restrictions. They do have to pay the LIHTC rent, mm-hmm. and that's for Spring Creek. Two units there. One is a two-bedroom ADA, which I have two households interested in right now. And then a one-bedroom there, and then a one-bedroom 60% over at Village Place.
I'm sorry if I missed that.
Oh, no worries.
It might have just gone right through me.
She went fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, you guys got a lot to cover. That's really great to hear. I know that that's been a concern for a lot of people, both positive and negative feedback on when we do that. But I'm glad to see that we have some units that we can help with that.
And Lisa, I did have a question on that for those. Are those going to be long-term leases for all the fire victims, or is it kind of just like month to month, or how does that work with them?
We can do up to a 12-month lease, but because of the tax credit requirements, because at month 12, they do have to qualify or vacate. So we will do probably a 10 or 11-month lease, depending on the household, depending on their needs. If they say they only need 6 months, we'll do a 6 month and do 3 months continually, you know, month to month, but they will have to be out by that 12th, at the end of the 12th month.
Okay.
So there's no option for them to renew after that year in case they haven't got their house rebuilt or whatever.
Mm. Unless they qualify.
Correct.
Yeah. Just, they could qualify, but come to you and say, I have no paperwork to prove I qualify. I'm working to get it. And then at the end of their lease, income qualify and then continue. But yeah, if they don't, then they out.
Or this is just a short-term solution for them to find long-term housing as well.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other business?
So I did just want to mention that Kathy Fedler is retiring as of the end of this month. So this will be the last advisory board meeting that that Kathy will be attending, generally speaking. So So I just thought I would open that. I just would remind folks, and if you want to wish Kathy well in her retirement, or any comments that you might want to make, but this will be Kathy's last meeting before she retires.
I would just like to say that we don't have a history of being very good with ceremony, but I'll say that when I joined the Housing Authority Board, I don't know how long ago, Kathy's role was different than it is today. Supportive or advisory, from the side to chime in to let us know what's happening in the city in the affordable housing realm. And then all of a sudden, he's thrown into the fire. And I don't know how we would have gotten the LHA to where it is today without her work and sacrifice. You will be greatly missed. Thank you.
Unfortunately, I do not live in the city of Longmont either, so cannot become a member of the advisory board. So
I'm going to call Eugene as well. We'll figure it out.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you, Kathy. Your help and guidance has been monumental. The three of you teaming up to help LHA navigate this really difficult period has been incredible. It definitely did not go unnoticed. And I know how much you guys worked and how hard you worked and the extra hours you put in. It almost seemed thankless, because it didn't seem very prominent, but I think you guys know how important this was, what the mission, the point of it all was, to make sure that we continue housing people in the city of Longmont, stable, safe, affordable housing. And I cannot thank you enough for stepping up and taking over that role. So thank you so much. And I hope that your retirement is enjoyable and fun and that it's everything that you wanted it to be.
Here, here. I second all those comments. And Kathy, you will be greatly missed. You've been kind of the person to kind of set the ship straight if it goes off course, and keeping us righted, I guess. Thank you for all your work. And like everyone else says, without you, I don't know how LHA would be where it's at today.
Thank you, Kathy, for everything you've done, and good luck in your retirement, and hey, have some fun.
Hey, Kathy, we go way back further than the board, because as we were talking about the Marshall Fire, I was remembering you're the one I called when we had residents from the 2013 flood. And the follow-up, and I appreciated it then. And I'm gonna second what Cameron did. You were kind of a support mechanism when we were on the board. And since the city has taken over, you've been a power force and extremely valuable in terms of the background of LHA and in terms of helping to mesh the city bureaucracy with LHA needs. You've been a very strong linchpin. And I'm with everybody else. Enjoy your retirement, dear. You've earned it.
I'll just say that for the first 22 years that I was the liaison to the LHA and LHDC boards, that the stuff I thought I knew and understood about the LHA when we ended up getting involved, it was like this much of what I needed to know. And that has, the knowledge that we've gained since then. So I appreciate all the kind words, and I am really looking forward to retirement, I have to say, after the past couple of years. So thank you.
Okay. If there's no other business, our next meeting will be on February 15th, the same time. And I don't know if we have to have an actual process to adjourn. I think, Cameron, in the past, you've just sort of said, we're going to adjourn. So I think we're going to adjourn.
Okay.